Hey, I'm Daniel Colburn.
And I'm Caleb Porzio.
Welcome to 20% Time, where two coworkers discuss one programming topic every Friday for less than 20 minutes. And a clap. And a three. And a two. And a one. And a clap. Excellent.
Excellent. Excellent.
All right, let me tighten up my mic stand a little. It's getting a little loose, a little saggy.
Let me know if the poof gets back. The little poof ball on the top of the tip of my mic is gone. I don't know where, but I'm on the couch, and I can't get up and check, so it's probably under me. But
all right. Well, it's all right.
So I'm going.
So,
go ahead.
So Caleb, you're using a headset.
Using a headset, yeah.
And this is because of a BMX accident?
This is because of a BMX accident. So, like you do, I've been BMXing on my lunch breaks. So
as one does,
and I'm new to it, and it's been a ton of fun. And so I went out like 2 hours ago and did a 180 for the first time, which was awesome. But I rolled my ankle pretty bad and hobbled home. So I'm on the couch with frozen corn on my ankle.
And a headset.
And a headset. Exactly.
Because your mic is all hardwired into your desk.
Exactly. Went over to the desk.
Which is not at the
couch. Excruciating pain, so we're headset.
Yep. All right. Excellent.
Excellent.
How you been?
Oh, I've been pretty good. Yeah. Yep. How have you been?
You're still in the microservice land.
Oh.
Still.
Yeah, I am, but the people that I'm in the land with, like, it's pretty much a unanimous consensus that we need less services. But when you go down this road, you can't just go back. So.
Yeah, it's not like you just flip a switch.
Right. We just added another service on the last, like, planning we had, and it was this whole huge thing where everybody's like, we really shouldn't, but we have to.
Why don't you guys just run artisan microservices condense?
Yeah, we thought about it, but we haven't upgraded to 5.5 yet, so
gotcha. Yeah, that's a new feature,
because we only did on one service, but another one of those fun microservice things you have to upgrade on every service. So
dang, that's a real shame.
Yeah,
it's a nice feature though. I'm glad Sean McCool added that feature.
Was it Sean
Laravel?
It was Sean.
Yeah, definitely. Artisan microservice condense. So, all right, let's give a little backstory on what this episode is.
Yeah.
So, you may have noticed there was not an episode last week. Here's an interesting story. There actually was an episode last week. You just didn't hear it. I didn't edit it, and we didn't put it out. And that episode was about, it was going to be called IDEs. And at that point, I had just been playing with PHP Storm pretty extensively, and not super extensively, but like for a week. And Caleb was basically considering getting really into Visual Studio Code at that point. And we talked about the strengths and weaknesses of both of those things and how we both really like Sublime Text. And we may have mentioned Vim very briefly.
Yeah.
Anyway, since then, Caleb has gone full bore into Visual Studio Code.
For sure.
I have not been talking about this in Slack, but I have also been using Visual Studio Code pretty extensively.
Yeah.
But I've just...
From whatever, like, screenshots or whatever I've seen out of you, you've been sneakily full-on using Visual Studio Code.
Yeah, and here has been my methodology. I wanted to use Visual Studio Code, and I didn't want to... do what you guys were doing. So basically, you guys have established like a best path of least resistance to using Visual Studio Code for PHP.
Okay.
And I decided that I would go my own route and see if I ended up in the same place.
Oh.
And I basically have.
Okay.
But I just wanted to see if there was a better way to do it. I don't know. I'm rebellious, and I don't like to just do things because I'm told that it's the best way to do it.
Heard.
And so I just was like, screw those guys. I'm going to go figure out the best way to do it.
Cool. So
and
I
basically figured out the same thing.
Yeah. I mean, I feel I'm still trying to figure out the best way to do it. There's still things I'm running into. But even just today, like, I finally got IntelliSense to work with PHP, and it totally has not been.
Because there's right, like so a little bit of background.
Yeah. Okay, background.
A little bit of background, because we talked. It's kind of hard. So if we're just going to release this episode and not last week's episode, we need to like cover a couple of the things we covered last week.
Yeah,
which is like, where were we 2 weeks ago, and what caused us to want to change, and what are we doing now?
Okay.
So why don't you start?
Yep. So I've been Sublime for a couple of years now, I think. And pretty, like, really happy with it. I've tried Storm. I went through, maybe 2 years ago, I went through Jeffrey's PHP Storm video and really gave it my all. And it was just too slow on, I had a MacBook Air at the time, so that was a problem. It was just too slow, so I didn't do that. And I've just been with Sublime. And so what prompted me to switch is pretty much step debugging. So, quick backstory on step debugging. You know what? Not going to tell that backstory on step debugging. Basically, I've been at this new company and I've been, well, a new client and been pairing with people and they're watching me DD all over the place and I look like a buffoon.
And you felt bad.
And I feel bad because I'm watching them. If I'm watching them on their screens, their debugging chops are just so like, it's a beautiful thing watching somebody step debug when you need it. So anyway, and then I was like pairing and I was in the hot seat and it was this big, like this production like issue. And I'm DDing all over the place, and somebody's like, can't you just step debug? I'm like, I actually can't. So I tried to get Xdebug inside Sublime and had some issues, so I decided. And then a friend of mine, he comes from actual Visual Studio land. He's like a C-sharp developer, like .NET, and he's kind of coming over into the web world, and he's using VS Code, and he's all about it. So he's telling me all this cool stuff he's doing. And so that enough of it like built up around it that it's become sort of a sexy thing in my head enough that like, which is crazy because it's Visual Studio, it's Microsoft. And, but
it's actually a very good program.
Yeah. And it's written in TypeScript and it's an Electron app and you know, whatever that, I know everybody's got opinions on all that stuff, but, I don't know. It seems like
it's fast.
It's pretty fast for sure. It's not PHP Storm slow. It's not Sublime fast for sure.
Right.
So I've decided to just hop over because I think I got to this point where like I was really ready for the next level of like, and I don't want to even saying words like next level, like I think I fundamentally disagree with thinking of it in that linear scale of like Sublime is for
noobs.
People. Yeah, Sublime is for noobs, right? Like I'm totally in support of using Sublime to the death. But anyway, I just sort of wanted those extra features, the editor to know more about the code I'm writing, tell me what I'm doing wrong, suggest things more easily, be able to change a class and it know all the references and update the namespaces, stuff like that. So pull up, pull down, step debug, all that stuff.
Yes.
Yeah. You.
So yeah, I'm in kind of a similar boat. I was recently tasked with, like I was given like a test suite of like, 500 some tests and the job was make these 35-ish failing tests pass and then make this test suite faster and so there was like a lot of DDing and dumping because like this is my first exposure to this code base and there's like so much code in this code base and it's like it's not all like right up the middle of like what I would expect a Laravel app to be, right? Yeah. It's not all just like, you know, user has many posts, right?
Yeah,
it's like a weird, it's a weird app with a weird domain and like some weird logic in it. So it wasn't like super easy to grok. And so, yeah, I was pairing with Jose Soto, the international man of mystery here at Titan, who like, the thing I don't know if this is true about Jose, and I guess he can tell me after he listens to this. I just assume that Jose has like seen and done everything before.
Yeah, he's one of those guys. You don't know about him.
Yeah. But like Jose has like worked for some cool companies and done some cool work and like always on occasion will like mention the name of a book that I should read. And I'm like, all right, Jose knows like a lot of stuff.
Right.
He's got it all going on.
But he's real chill about it. Like he's not, you know, he doesn't wear it.
Mega chill. Like insanely chill. That's like, the thing about him is that you just don't know what, like you don't know when he's going to drop one, but he drops them.
Yep, for
sure. So anyway, Mr. Soto, we were pairing and he was like, yeah, so I'm just going to drop a breakpoint here and then we'll check what happens with XDebug. And I was like, and it was so much faster. And like, there's all these things you can do. Like, for example, this test suite took 5 minutes to run, right? It was a big test suite. And so when I fixed something and I didn't know whether fixing that thing just fixed this test or fixed multiple tests, I wanted to run the whole test suite to see whether I had gone from like 35 to 30 failing tests, right?
Yep.
But what I really wanted to do was just run the tests that had failed last time.
Right.
You can't do that. You can't do it, right? You just have to run all of PHP Storm. So what I did... And this
all
is like
PHP unit.
It's just like DD or dump, right? It's a destructive debugging change, right? It's something where it's like I'm actually adding code to my files that if I'm not careful, I will accidentally commit later.
Okay. Yeah.
For the sake of debugging. And so here's what I did. I went through and I took every test that failed and I added them all to a group called fail. And then I just ran a PHP Storm group called fail because I didn't want to run the whole
suite. A PHP unit group. Yep.
Called fail.
Right.
Because I didn't want to run the whole thing.
Wow.
And then you know what happened? I was like about to commit a bunch of changes and then I was doing my like git add p where I like look through all the things.
Yep.
And there was a bunch of groups that I had forgotten to remove and then I had to go back and remove them and I'm glad I did. But what I'm saying is the thing with dump and DD and group that really bother me, in addition to like not being super cool and sexy and like in the editor, is like I'm actually adding code to files, you know?
Yeah,
and like that seems
that.
Dangerous.
Yeah, there's that.
Like adding code to files just to know things about them is weird.
And like you, when you're step debugging in code, at least, I haven't done it in PHP Storm, but like you can just remove all breakpoints. So you're dropping breakpoints because you're exploring. You can just hit like remove all breakpoints. Where like how many times do you DD in a chain and you forget like that you left a DD farther up the chain and you're trying to DD later and you forget what part of the DD you're in? Or if you're DDing in a loop, I made this my own helper called DD after that like stores its own counter so that if I'm DDing in a loop, I can say like DD after 3, then the variable I want to DD so that it runs through 3 times before telling me. Crazy things, like it's amazing, like what I've the limits I've pushed DD to, and
what
all
you've
I need
done to avoid using XDebug.
Yeah, and it's crazy. The quick pause. I think I saw something today. I want you to tell me if this is true or not. When you added the groups, did you add them to methods? When you added the fail group,
yes,
PHP unit,
I did.
I was just digging around Laravel, and I saw a test that had the group in the above the class name.
You can do that too.
Okay. Didn't know that. That's cool. Good to know.
Yep.
All right. That might have been very common knowledge, but to me that was news and that was exciting. Sweet.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Cool.
So. But yeah. So now, long story short, I basically was a Sublime guy forever. I'm really, really good at Sublime. I've taken excursions into PHP Storm, Web Storm, Visual Studio Code for a second, and into like Vim stuff, right? And I've always just ended up back in Sublime because I'm really, really good at
Same.
It. Like I'm good at cursor management. I'm good at like getting stuff done.
Yeah.
And like even now, like I was on with Jose the other day and like we were like copying stuff into Sublime Text to like add quotes around things because it's just so much easier.
Oh, from Storm,
you know?
You're saying? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just because the cursors are way better and you can like alt drag your cursor and do stuff like that.
Yep.
But long story short, we're using VS Code now, and it's a big new world.
Yeah, the cursor management is the same as Sublime, to my knowledge. Works the same. I haven't noticed any difference.
Yeah, it seems similar for sure.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
I there have been places where, like, if you have multiple cursors and then you like like I get in these really complicated situations where like I don't even think about really what the logic is. It just feels right.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Because like I've done it so many times.
Right.
So it's like if I have multiple cursors.
Okay.
Like say I selected like the function keyword for every method in a class.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Right?
Yeah, of course.
And I've got a cursor and for some of them it's at the beginning of the function word and for some it's at the end of the function word. Right? And what I want to do is go from there, select the
function name.
Name of the method.
Yep.
Copy it, go down three lines,
yep.
paste that method, and then indent it by one line.
Yeah. Okay.
And then add something to the end of it.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So it's like that's the type of thing where it's like I know all the buttons to hit to do that.
Yeah.
And like I've had experiences where like in VS Code, it's like I haven't exactly nailed down what the difference is, but it's like I do that, and then one of my things ends up like
interesting
with a tab after it instead of before it because the cursor was, you know, and it's like,
yeah,
it's really close. It's really close, but it's like there's just little things that are like extensions of my brain where I don't even think about them anymore.
Yep.
Yeah. And I have to like figure out how to change that.
Right. Yeah, I haven't run into that. All my multiple cursor stuff I've done has been the same. Alt cool. arrows, command arrows, you know, command D-ing, all that. It's good.
Yeah.
It is.
And then copy pasting while you're in multiple cursors is always weird.
I think I even tried it in VS Code and it seemed fine, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like sometimes you copy one thing and then go into multiple cursors and then paste it, or sometimes you copy
two
things, but now you have four cursors.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Anyway, I don't know that type of stuff is real, but it's, I know what you're saying, but I don't know if it's a real problem for me ever in VS Code. I don't know. So the cursor thing, that's pretty good. So that for me, that's like a check mark. I didn't have to think about that. It definitely, like, it's Visual Studio. Talking with my Visual Studio friend, he's like, to him I say command P and he's like, what is command P? It's like there's things that in VS Code make sense to him that don't make sense to me, and there's things in VS Code that make sense to me that don't make sense to him, because I'm coming from the open source, the free world of command P, command shift P, Atom, Sublime, that style of editor. So so it had all that out of the box, which is nice, like command P, command shift P,
which is very nice. Yes,
it's very nice. And I pulled in the Sublime plugin that just gives you all the key mappings for Sublime, which is pretty cool. Like it does good enough for most stuff. So the basics are covered,
really
but
nice?
What's that?
You know what's really nice is so they have the little Git panel on the left. You know?
Yep.
If you're in the Git panel and you click a file, you get a side by side diff that's editable.
Yeah, that is pretty great. Yeah, the side by side diff is great. What do you use for Git? You always use command line?
Pretty much. I use like source tree. I used to use Tower, but my license expired.
Okay. I use GitHub's client and like pretty much just for the diffing like that, but obviously it's not editable. And I dig it. So I've been using the diffing in code, which is really nice. I think Jeff Way posted something in a tweet that like that there was like a diff view, like a quick diff view, like you don't have to be inside of the actual like source control panel, like sidebar, you can just like hit a key and get like a briefing of what's diffed from
that's
the main
nice.
Branch. I think he right, didn't put any like shortcut keys, so I could be off, but I think that's a possibility. So that would be cool.
Yeah. But it was really great because I'm working on Ziggy today because it's 20% day, and I knew that I had done some work on Ziggy that I had just like gotten pulled away from and not committed last week.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was like in the middle of writing a function,
right?
And I literally opened Ziggy in VS Code for the first time ever, and I looked in the panel, and like all my changes were like highlighted in green, and it was like,
yeah, right.
Oh,
well, like
this is
when
nice.
You're normally editing the left, I believe the left bar when you're just editing code, yeah. So the left bar in code like gives you a little green line, and then I think you might be able to click that line. Okay, I don't know. But it gives you a green line that shows you that it's new to the branch. So it's just a subtle little indicator, which is cool.
Source.js, Route.js.
Yeah. Just
It is. I don't see an indicator.
If
you might
like,
have a...
hit an enter key or something, and then you get this little, like, side green
thing.
What
is that light bulb? Convert function to an ES 2015 class.
I don't like
class.
The light bulb.
What
Yeah,
convert function to an ES2015 class. What is going to happen when I click that?
I don't know. So nothing, I finally got
happened.
Like
that's weird.
The go-to symbol was the big killer for me. Not like that command shift R where you can type like any method and in the whole like in your whole app.
Wait, command
What's that?
Oh, command shift R is the whole
app. Yeah, command shift R. I use that all the time and that doesn't work out of the box.
I use command R all the time, which I don't have now.
So command R you do I just have the Sublime key mapping thing, so I have command R.
Sublime key mapping.
The manual way to
smart.
Do it
I
is
use
the
that.
Go thing. Yeah, just download the Sublime key mapping plugin, honestly. It's pretty lightweight. Yeah, so I get that command R, but command shift R with I tried all these different PHP IntelliSense like plugins that index all your files, and there's like a PHP server that serves to VS Code, all this stuff. And it would crash every time I would command shift R, or if I got command shift R, it was like a bunch of mumbo jumbo, it wasn't useful. But I finally found the perfect PHP IntelliSense package. I'll have to share it with you. It's crazy. It's called IntelliFence, like PH, like elephant.
With a PH? Yeah. I've seen that.
And it's 33,000 downloads, as opposed to the other IntelliSense, which is 866,000, and the other one, which is 204. So I didn't even consider it, because the law of most downloads says that the thing with the most downloads is always the best, which in this case is totally not true. This is way better. It gives me all the IntelliSense that I need in Sublime Code. Like, I've tested all of them pretty exhaustively, and unless it's a specific thing with my machine, this PHP IntelliFence is, like, killer. So, and the other ones really are bad for me.
Huh.
So, they barely even
That's
work.
That's crazy.
Like, even pulled up the console and looked at the log and watched them index all my files, and it still was inaccurate and slow. So, anyway, I'll have to send that over to you because it's super nice and it's seems to be just, I don't know. So, yeah.
Okay. Something you guys brought up is the output panel. So, okay, there are four sub panels in like the little bottom panel.
Yep.
There's problems, output, debug console, and terminal.
Yep.
So far, I end up in output a lot.
Okay.
I use debug console all the time.
Yeah.
And I use terminal all the time.
Yeah.
What is problems?
Right.
And you guys mentioned in the chat that output you wanted to make it like pretty and color coordinated, which
definitely.
I also want.
Yeah, I want it so pretty and color coordinated when I run unit tests. Like, so there's this PHP unit plugin that you hooked me up with this stuff when I got up and running.
Yep.
And so when you run a PHP unit test, it doesn't spit it out in your built-in terminal in a VS Code. It spits it out into that output panel. And the output panel doesn't have any colors. So when I run a test, I don't get green, I just get dots, you know? So anyway, so that would be a huge plus if we could get that. I'll have to look. I didn't look into that extensively. There's like a million and one of these little things that I've been trying to hunt down every time I come across it. And I pretty much, honestly, like in code, I either find a really good, easy solution or a whole GitHub issue that's like a zillion lines long of all these Sublimers saying that this needs to be this way, and then either the creator of VS Code not agreeing, or
Microsoft.
Saying, yeah. Well, no, it's this guy. I don't know his name. I should know his name, but he's like seems to be like the maintainer guy that's all over GitHub. But
that's good. That's probably why it's good, is that there's one guy.
Yeah, I mean, it seems pretty centralized, and they seem pretty open to things, and it's definitely actively developed, like very actively developed right now. There's, you know,
no, I've
simple
had two updates since I've been using it.
Okay, yeah. Do you know simple full screen in Sublime?
Yeah. Where
so
it full screens but doesn't actually.
Right. It's like pre OS X Lion full screening. It doesn't like give you the extra workspace. It just full screens the way
so important.
Stuff used to full
so
screen.
Important.
Right. That doesn't exist. So I either have to go in full workspace or not. So I started hunting it down, and there's this whole thread, and turns out this guy is like, it's impossible in Electron. So one of these guys in GitHub like actually pull requested the functionality into Electron. And so when it comes into the stable Electron release, then he's going to pull request it into VS Code, and VS Code is going to get simple full screen. So it's like,
that's very nice.
Yeah. There's so many of these things that I'm like, I think I'm here to stay. That's how it feels right now, because it feels like there's answers for things.
You know what sucks,
I'm not
though?
Alone.
This is my main complaint about code, and you're never going to have this issue because you only run one monitor. But
okay. Oh yeah. Right.
I like to have two windows. I like to have a window on my left monitor and a window on my right monitor
for the same
right?
project. Right.
And I want to be looking at the same project. I want it to be like the same environment, right? I want them to be talking to each other. I'm fine if like one of them is like the main one that has the panel and all of that, and the other one is just like an editor, right? All that's fine to me. But the issue is you can't have that. So you can like launch a second instance of VS Code, basically.
Yeah, right.
And then you can have like two copies of the same project,
right,
left and right. But like, A, you have to do that through the command line. And yeah, it's crazy. So my natural instinct, right, is to like grab a tab and drag it to my other monitor and drop it.
Yeah.
And you know what that does?
What does it do?
You know what it does? What do you think it does?
It opens a new instance.
It stores a copy of the file. No, it stores a copy of the file
on your
my desktop.
Ah, that's funny.
Which is not what I want.
Nice. Yeah, that's funny. Yeah, sorry about that. You should Google that. Maybe there's a whole issue thing on it. I don't know.
Yeah, no, there is. It's not going to change.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, that, yeah. So, step debugging, I found a new fun use for it.
Go on.
I tweeted this earlier.
Conditionals, right.
Yeah. So, like, you're looking at a giant conditional thing, and you don't know what's what at what state, so you don't know which path it takes. So,
you rewrite it to be not that.
Well, right. In a perfect world. but you DD within those different paths, and it's just obnoxious. And I don't know. I feel like I've come across this enough for it to be considered a pain in my hindquarters.
Yeah. You drop like a dump statement in each of the four options to see which one gets called.
Oh, that's a much better way to do it. I'm more of a primitive DD in one, run it, go to the next one. I prefer the process of it, you know. That's not true. I should be doing
that. You're very like spiritual when it comes to debugging.
Yep, very spiritual. So anyway, when you're step debugging, it's super easy to just follow the path, and it just shows you which path it takes. So it's like, boom.
That's a very spiritual way to say that, yeah.
Yes, you which path it takes. Follow the path. The one true
Wherever
path.
Wherever you go, there you are.
It lights your path. Yeah, so I've been feeling really good about that. Yep, that's pretty good, the step debugging.
I love it. No, I love it. I think that's very smart. And with loops, too. Ifs and loops.
Ifs and loops,
thing.
Yeah. For sure.
So valuable.
Straight up.
So valuable.
Yeah. I mean, if you're, I still DD, like, when you just need to DD, but the step debugging.
Yeah, who doesn't?
And you get an interactive. I was working on WordPress.
This interactive console.
I was working on a WordPress site the other day, and I enjoyed it. I said that in Slack and got some Slack for it. Some flack. Flack.
Some flack slack.
Some flack.
Some slack
flack.
Flack.
Slack flack. And anyway, because it's WordPress, I don't know what's up and what's down. But I was able to step debugging WordPress and get my little debug window and then test out all these WordPress functions. It was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I was like,
it's nuts,
this
though.
Is boss. It's Tinker, essentially. It gives you like, how many times are you in some PHP thing? Like, if you're developing a package, do you ever try to type Tinker in a directory that's not a Laravel app? I do it all the time. Like, if I'm, like, requesting to the Laravel framework or something, I go Tinker, shoot, and then I have to go into a separate directory that has Laravel and Tinker just to get the PHP REPL, you know?
Uh-huh.
But this gives you Tinker in anything, so.
Yeah, which is crazy. And so, yeah. And this is really funny, too, because, like, you wrote a whole blog post that I literally, up until today, or not today, up until, like, this last week or two, like, if I type C in my Chrome, it autofills Caleb Porzio Artisan Tinker.
Really?
Nice. Yeah, because I was just always like opening that blog post to like pull different little snippets out of it.
Nice.
It was like my snippet library for like, I'm in a debug situation.
Right.
Let me go open Caleb's blog post and do his thing.
That blog post. Go on.
That blog post. That is unnecessary now.
The blog post is completely useless. No, it's the blog post is great, and I still use Tinker within VS Code, but I had this huge epiphany moment when it's weird. Like, I learned step debugging from the other end. Well, first, okay, I've seen step debugging, and you probably have too, in Chrome. Like, I've used it in Chrome for JavaScript. Like, you can set breakpoints in Chrome.
Yeah.
But it's always useless to me. Because it never, maybe I just don't understand like JavaScript stuff enough, but if I have like a view problem and I just set a breakpoint where the error goes, I'm just in all these view like root source files. I never get to the component I wrote, and it's never like, oh, that's where my problem is. It's always like, well, this was useless. let me go change stuff until it works, you know? I would love, if somebody is listening to me and is saying, oh, I felt that way, but then I learned this, please tell us, because...
I think it's Webpack, dude. I think Webpack is the issue.
I don't know. There is some of that,
I think there's
got
to be, like some debug tools that are Webpack enabled or something. Like, I wish Webpack... Man, people are going to think we're so dumb. So, I think that Webpack should store an index of where every line in it comes from, and it should just not run when you do it in production mode or something. Like SAS indexes used to be, you know? Like
you're saying
now,
like maps? Like source maps?
Like source maps. Because what I feel like what's happening is I get a... Like, if I get an error, it's on, like, line 50,000,000 of my webpack.js file.
Right, right.
And it's, like, this weird, like, kind of obfuscated code that is not the code that I wrote.
Yeah, for sure.
But definitely is referencing
the code that I wrote.
That's what source
maps are for. I'm pretty sure, like, you can just make source maps in, like, Laravel Mix or anything. And you just, and it just shows you the actual source. Pretty sure.
Okay, yeah, so I am definitely dumb. So please show me that once we get off this call.
Okay.
And
I hear you, though. Like, I don't want to say I have the turnkey solution because I feel like I end up in that position enough that maybe it's not just simply source maps. But I feel like sometimes I'm in the console and I magically get the source file and I'm like, oh, sweet. Like CSS source, like getting an SCSS file instead of like a minified garbage CSS production file, like CSS source maps. So anyway, yeah, we should pair on that. Yeah. So anyway, Chrome debugging was like the gateway to see like, oh, this is crazy. But then, so using Tinker, I read on the actual, okay, so Tinker is built on, what's that app that it's built on? I forget.
SciShell.
It's built on SciShell, which is a PHP package. And I went to SciShell's docs, and one of the first things is like, ooh, drop this little snippet, eval, and then you pass in like SciShell, whatever, in anywhere in your code, like you would DD. And instead of getting a DD output, it'll drop you into a Tinker REPL where you can interact with the code at that point in time. And when I saw that, I was like, this is insane. Why haven't I been doing this my whole life? This is crazy.
Right.
And then so I pour it.
Yeah, it was
it's
like
in
more
Dust
data,
now.
More information, not destructive.
Right. So I was like, oh my gosh, I have a time machine for my PHP code. This is unbelievable. And then, I'm pairing with some whoever's and they're like, oh, so like PHP Storm can do that. Don't you know? And I'm like, okay, guys. All right. that's Xdebug. Have you heard? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Have you heard of Xdebug, bro?
So now I'm there.
It's like, yeah, so, I know about Xdebug. That's the thing I always have to disable in PHP to make something work.
Yes. That's the thing that nobody's like forcing me to install and understand in our ecosystem. So I just don't know anything about it. So.
Yep.
And I'm just glad I don't have to like every once like I get that little like, you know, that insecurity of like somebody you're at a conference or you're talking to some like old. Longer standing PHP guy, and he's like, oh, Xdebug. And
you could say older. It's usually an older person.
Yeah, I didn't want to ages. Slipped.
No, but listen, here's the thing. When you're over 40, you don't have time for that anymore. You don't have time for the children's games of DD.
You don't have, right. You're the days of the Vare dump. I bet that's what it is. It's like DD is so much better than Vare dump and then die after. Or like print R with pre-tags and all that junk that it's like just enough that we're, you know, that's not an obvious garbage fire, dumpster fire.
Right.
Which is why it's gotten us so far.
Yeah. No, I like it. I'm not hating on it. I'm just saying like having a panel with like, I get to specify like, please keep an eye on these variables because
that's
there's
crazy.
Something going on with this one.
Right. And you can like, literally write an expression. It holds the value of what that expression resolves to every step of the way as you control time like a wizard.
It's crazy. It's nonsense.
It is nonsense. So this is probably really funny to all the Storm listeners right now.
They've just been doing this stuff forever.
This is what they've been doing. So there's that.
So anyway, if you already knew this, come work at Titan because we needed someone who already knew this to tell us this.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. So
tell us the next thing too. Tell us the next thing that we don't already know, but
exactly.
Don't tell us on Twitter.
Just
don't tell us on Twitter.
PM, please save
because if you tell us on Twitter, then it's like A, I feel dumb, and now people see me feeling dumb on Twitter, and then like I have to respond to you in a way that protects my ego, and that's all complicated. And like I've got a internet podcast where I pretend I know things.
Oh, knowing things.
You can tell
I've
me
had
on
a couple
Twitter.
Like
it's tell me on Twitter.
I feel like I've just lost my mojo. Like I've been out of modern Laravel development for a while. So like all my fire tweets are just tweets that people are like, oh yeah, like there's a better way, or you know.
Yeah, Xdebug exists. Congrats, Bruno.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Like it's all over for me. I've peaked.
Yeah,
no,
we're donezo.
Now I'm just discovering old things. Yeah, it's over.
So we're both on these huge projects now, and we're both kind of a little embedded.
There's no green fields. There's no... Those
no
days are
fields,
over.
Just huge test suites.
We're in the days of hard work.
DB Raw.
We're in the desert.
DB
Raw. You gotta love the DB Raw. What? It's so flexible. You know? Like
right.
Eloquent,
what if we just
but
wrote
way
our whole
more
app?
Flexible.
You know what? What if we just wrote our whole app with DB Raw? Like, there's nothing we
give
couldn't do at that
point. Give me the rope
to
hang myself with. Give me the DB
give me
Raw.
All the rope.
Give me the rope. Don't hide the rope from me.
Listen, is there a way that you could give me enough rope that I could not only hang myself, but also hang every developer
every
who ever touches this project?
On the product. Yes.
Yeah, like in perpetuity. That's my, that's how much rope I want. Is that how much rope I get with DB Raw?
You get a lot of rope. You all still right. got some sanitizing stuff going on there, and I feel like that's just Laravel yet again trying to protect you from yourself. You
yeah,
should,
like whatever.
Exactly.
I'm not a child.
You
I know about Xdebug.
You should use just the MySQL Connect, you know, helper function thing. Don't even use the object oriented syntax. Just.
But Caleb, what if I want to switch to Doctrine?
I can't handle it.
Repositories, more repositories.
Oh man, I got so many repositories right now in this
so
project.
Many repositories.
The more repositories, the better. Repository factory state patterns are even better.
Oh, they're amazing.
And you know what you got to do? You got to put the repositories in the services folder, just you know, because of services.
Yep, user repository find all by company.
Mm-hmm. Well said, my friend.
That's all I have to say.
Wow. There's nothing more to say.
There's nothing more to say.
Do we call
use
this
DB
episode...
Raw as often as possible.
Use DB Raw as often as possible. Take the rope. Don't let Taylor stifle your creativity
Taylor,
and
that,
your
rope.
Jobs.
Don't give that rope to Taylor.
Exactly.
You know,
Taylor's holding
Taylor
you back.
Take my rope. Taylor can take my rope from my cold, dead hands.
Exactly. Oh, man. Yep. Okay.
DB Raw, all the things.
DB Raw, Airtang.
Shout out to Jared White for providing this music.